Hello and welcome to an episode of Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I got my first ballot, voting ballot ever. I became a citizen like a year ago now. I guess it's been a year. And this is the first time I'm able to actually vote. So it's a pretty big deal. And I won't talk about politics, but those of you who know me know which way I'm going to vote. I did a farmer's market last night. And it was pretty good. It started off a bit slow because when it's hot out, people don't really go for desserts right away. They want to eat an actual meal and then they come back. So I did end up selling a good amount and I did well. I didn't do amazing. You know, I've had two really good sales and that was, I guess, a few weeks ago now. But I always make a certain amount. I always hope to make more. You know, because the next day I'm so tired, even though I am getting more used to it. I'm getting used to the routine, used to the physical labor, and then standing all day. It is getting easier. You know, when you're used to something more, it's not as hard as in the beginning. Same when you exercise. I use this as an example because I didn't used to swim so much. And then when I first went swimming, it drained me. And then later on, it's no big deal. You know, when you do something in a routine, it's normal. But when you first start with something new, it just wipes you out. So I did the market last night. A person started talking to me. He used to be in the market, but I guess he has his own store. And he got his store in this really high-end location. You know, a lot of business is going to come through because of all the other businesses around. So he was talking to me. He said, how do you fill a cannoli with ice cream? And I'm like, you soften the ice cream and pipe in the ice cream. He's like, you can do that? I was like, yeah. Like he was thinking that you put the ice cream into a cylinder and then you fill the cannoli with the cylinder ice cream. Cylindrical ice cream, excuse me. And I said, well, no, because your cannoli is too sensitive, it'll break and it won't fill the cannoli all the way. You need a base to put the cannoli, like stand it up or put foil around the bottom. You soften your ice cream, you pipe it in and you freeze it. And I guess he's talked to like four other pastry chefs about this. That's what he said. And I'm like, well, you know, it's not that hard. And he said, no one else could think of an idea. They all said you can't do it. And I'm thinking, who are these people? Like, of course you can soften ice cream and fill it the way you want to. You just have to refreeze it. So anyway, he's opening a new store and he wants to serve these ice cream cannolis for like wedding functions. And he wants to have that as an option. But he was told that it can't be done. And I said, yes, it can. So then he said, we need to have a discussion about these cannolis and how to set up his store. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm thinking, that's fine. But I'm not cheap per hour. No, I don't know. I just, like, I feel like with most things, if you do pastry enough, you know how to get results. You know how to really make anything. I don't think that idea is so hard for me to soften the ice cream and fill the cannoli and refreeze. Like, that's not really hard. Anyway, he was saying to make money in a business, you have to be able to step yourself outside of the business and keep stepping back. So in other words, you know, I do what I do, but I train people and then they do what I do. And then I don't have to do the daily routine, you know, and he's talking about me and I'm like, okay, great. You know, like, yes, that's true. But right now I can't afford to pay anybody, you know, so I have to do it all. But he was talking to me as everybody else in the market is packing up, you know, everything's done and people start packing up. And I have so many things to set up. It takes me about 40 minutes to set up everything because I have to clean the case. I have to clean other items I've used, put everything away, put everything in the car. But he's talking and talking and talking. And I'm thinking, I want to get out of here. I want to leave. I've been up since 4 a.m. But no, he just keeps talking to me about this stuff. And I'm like, okay, it's cool. Just let me leave, basically. You know, that's what I was thinking. And then he finally left. He's like, I'll be in touch, which, okay, he hasn't been yet, but all right. And then I start setting up, and then like some weirdos start coming out, you know, because it's dark and now it's getting dark earlier. And one guy was like, do you need help? I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, so I have to remember not to talk too much so that I'm not the only one left, because, you know, it's still a city. And then late night when you're the only one at a market, okay, things could get a little dicey. I don't like being the only one there because I still have to bring my stuff to the car. My car is parked somewhere else, so I have to leave my things for a minute, drive up and fill everything up, you know? So that's the part I don't like. Because I am doing sales, like I'm trying to sell pies for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I'm doing commercials for that. So if you or your friends or anybody for the holidays would like some pies, I'm making pies. It's $34.99 for one pie. And you might think, oh, that's maybe pricey. No, it's not. Think about the ingredients. They're all real ingredients. There's the labor in there. You know, there's the time. And I feel like people's minds are stuck in time with prices. You know, like, yes, if you go to Costco, you can probably get a pie for $9, maybe less. I don't know. First of all, it's made bulk, right? They probably don't use heavy cream. They are using cheaper ingredients to make it, to get the most out of it. Because you cannot use real ingredients that are high in quality, like real butter, real cream, alcohol in there. You cannot use all that and still sell your pie for $9. You know, think about it. If you were to make a pie and you have to buy all these ingredients and then the time it takes to make it, the electricity for your oven, I mean, it's not going to be less than probably $20, $25. I mean, yes, once you have the ingredients, you can make more than one, probably except for the nuts, you know, because those are expensive. So I feel like Costco, Walmart, like all those stores are not helping individual bakers who make real things. Yes, one pie is $35. And someone even said it shouldn't be less than 40, you know, another baker. And I was like, okay, maybe you're right, but I'm just starting and I don't think I should price my pies over 40. So we'll see. We'll see. I did have some people interested and they started messaging me and then I told them price and I didn't hear back. But I'm like, okay, I'm not lessening the price. I'm not working like crazy and basically losing money, you know, because I still deserve an hourly wage. It's not just me slaving away getting you a product that's cheap. So I was leaving work, I think this was like a few weeks ago, and as I'm going up the ramp of the hotel, it's a concrete floor, and I see this email and it says, my social security number's been hacked. And somehow my phone slips out of my hand. I was probably like, what the hell? And it falls on the concrete face first. Basically, my cell phone started like flashing, you know, like shorting. It looked like it was gonna go out any second. And then what happened was the pixels of the screen started to turn black. The phone was actually still working. So if I could find the app, you know, or find the call button, I could still use my phone. The phone was actually working fine. It was the screen that got messed up. And within 24 hours, all these pixels started turning black. And I couldn't find my apps. I kind of had to guess where they are. So I quickly got information that I needed, maybe that I couldn't get through, you know, Samsung, whatever, if I were to get another phone. But I ordered a new phone. And anyway, overnight, my old phone was completely black. It was still working. So if I plugged it in to my car and the screen in my car, I could still see the phone and I could make calls in the car. But if it was outside of the car, I couldn't see anything or find the app because everything was all black. So anyway, I got a new phone and it's the flip phone, the Samsung, I think it's flip 3. The newest one they have is flip 4. But anyway, I love it. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen it, but it's perfect because it fits in your pocket. The regular phones, they keep getting bigger and bigger and they don't fit in my pocket. So if I'm sitting down, the phone will fall out and that defeats the purpose because then it's probably going to break again, you know? So this one fits perfectly everywhere and I love it. And you can even like bend it halfway and still use it. Or you can take pictures of other people, you know, and bend it halfway, like sitting down. So that way you don't have to lean it against things. Anyway, it's perfect. I'm advertising for the Samsung Flip 3. And I love it. So yes, I had to get a new phone, which in itself is always a stressful thing. And it almost didn't arrive in time for the farmer's market because I needed for the farmer's market to connect to my, you know, my Square device. So I do like a hotspot with my cell phone and then that way people can pay me. So my market is on Tuesdays. It arrived like Monday PM. So it arrived just in time for the market and it freaked me out because it almost didn't. So we ended up going, myself and Rodolfo, we ended up traveling up to LA. It was friends of his birthday. His other friends went up. It's like outside of LA, close to Azusa, I want to say, like outside of Pasadena. So not in LA. It's like, you know, an hour outside of LA. I have been saying I wanted to go to the Universal Fright Fest, you know, that horror night they have. And there was no other time really where we could just drive up because you can't just drive up and drive down. You know, it's a thing. Like then you have to stay somewhere. So I ended up getting tickets for Universal Studios for the Fright Night. And it's like $100 a person, which yes, is a bit pricey, but I just wanted to do it. Okay. So I got the tickets for Friday and then the birthday was on the weekend on Saturday. I thought just timing wise, this will be more practical, but of course, Friday sucks to drive up to LA. And it took about 4.5 hours, which really sucked because it was just traffic. And then straight from the traffic, we drove to Universal, you know, and entered the park, which ended up being a lot of fun, kind of scary in moments because we went into the haunted houses. You know, the movie, A Quiet Place? Well, they had a haunted house with the theme of a quiet place with all these like monsters. Anyway, we went into quite a few haunted houses. And then on the Universal like City Walk, they had all these creepy men with these chainsaws coming at you. You know, the usual. But it was kind of creepy, you know. But there were a lot of people there, but it was organized very well that not everything had lines. And then we took this tram ride and we thought it would just be a tram ride into like showing creepy areas of the park. I don't know. But it wasn't just a tram ride. It takes you to this other area, kind of part of Universal, but close to a studio lot. And it was this open area with planes that had been crashed. It was like a huge amount of props. And these people like coming at you, you know, they couldn't touch you, but they can scare you. So you're walking through this area with a fence and they'll come up behind the fence and try to scare you. And just, you know, they had this makeup. So we thought we'd just be able to sit, but no, we had to get off the tram and walk through these areas with these other, you know, creepy people. And then this new movie coming out, I guess, is Megan, where it's a robot. Every time you hear of something with a robot in a movie, the robot freaks out and turns on you. But now, did you see, like, Tesla came out with actual robots and you can get a robot for your house and it does household chores? Like, does it watch you sleep? Does it end up strangling you? Like, I don't know. This new movie called Megan, they made a horror movie out of it where basically the robot syncs with an actual human being and it ends up turning crazy. It can like read your mind and know what you're going to do because it synced with you. And then it ends up murdering people you care about. So Megan was there in a Universal lot and killed all these people. Like, you walk through this whole area with a motel and you see how she's killed all these other people. It was done really well and it was done really creepy, you know, and it's cheesy, but at the same time, it's scary because it's nighttime and just the lights and everything's set to make it creepy. So in the end, we had a lot of fun. And then because I worked for Hilton, I get discounts on hotels if they're available. So we stayed in Hollywood and the hotel was $40 for one night, which is amazing because I think this hotel is minimum like $200 a night. I don't know the exact minimum, but more than $40. So I think the parking, if you want to stay on the parking lot, it's $50. So it's more than the actual room, which is pretty crazy. So we stayed there and I parked on the street because that's a cheaper option. But we were in West Hollywood, which is close to where I used to live. You know, I lived in LA for 5 years in the Grove Street area in Park La Brea. And I was so close to the area where I used to live, you know, and I'd drive around where I stayed in Hollywood. So it was kind of strange just to be back and see how different my life is now, you know, and to think back of when I lived there. And I really liked LA a lot. You know, it was a place that I've always tried to get back to. Like, even when I lived in Aspen, I never saw Aspen as an option. I just saw that I wanted to get back to California and LA. But it never happened really until now. So when I was in LA, I realized I don't really like it so much anymore. You know, it's very smoggy. I've noticed there's a lot more smog than before, or maybe I was just used to it before, but I really think it's gotten worse. And just the amount of people, way more people than before, way more traffic. Like, basically everywhere you go, there's traffic. And we tried to look at the Hollywood sign the next morning. Impossible, because everyone else also tried to go and go up like Griffith Park Observatory, but the parking was already full, you know? So if you wanted to hike, yeah, that's fine. But we just wanted to like take a look, you know, and go off to the party, but everything was so packed. So that's the thing, when you live in a city, like same in New York, if you want to discover something green, you have to drive an hour away, you know, and that was a nice thing about Aspen. Like, you're living in nature and you can just be in it. And San Diego is a smaller version of LA, but it's a lot more bearable. And I realized, wow, San Diego is such a beautiful place. You know, it's not like LA. LA is just this huge, huge city spread out, and all the other cities surrounding it make it like the whole LA area. It's just become this giant concrete jungle, I guess, if you want to call it that. But it was so interesting. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, like, I want to get back to this. Like, I really loved it here. But then I'm back and I'm like, you know, no. Like, San Diego is a lot more beautiful. And yes, there's some traffic here, but nothing compared to LA. Not at all. You know, like, I can get pretty much everywhere fast in 20 minutes in San Diego, which in LA, it's at least 40 to an hour everywhere. And then parking is always an issue. So yeah, it was interesting to have that realization, you know, because in my mind, I'm thinking, why was I so stuck on LA? You yourself shift, you know, you yourself change. So I'm not that person I was when I first lived there. You know, I've done so much more. I've grown in other ways that, yeah, maybe it's not the place for me like I thought it would be. So we ended up going to Rodolfo's friend's party. It's a Brazilian party. It was filled with like 90% Brazilian people. you know, which is great. Like, they had all these Brazilian snacks and everyone was super nice. You know, we ended up staying at the house. It was this nice house with this amazing backyard. The backyard was pimped out. It had this outside barbecue area, like outdoor kitchen where you could sit, marble counter, you know, just really beautiful. And everyone was super nice. And I'm like sitting at the party and I realized, oh, I'm not really, like, I didn't feel a part of it. You know, everyone's talking Portuguese to everyone else. And I can understand some things because I've been doing Duolingo for like a year now, almost a year. I've been doing Duolingo. So I can understand a lot more, you know, but people are talking slang, they're talking fast. And I guess that was the first time I felt like kind of outside of the loop. You know, and people are drinking, so they're getting drunk. And, you know, some people live in this country for 20, 30 years and they never learn to speak English, you know, because you're always hanging out with the same groups, right? Nobody else speaks English. You eat the food of your culture. You go to the stores of your culture. And in some ways, you don't have to really learn the language, right? Because you're able to survive. You're able to meet all these people that are from your country. So you never end up learning it. You know, there's a lot of people like that. But in this case, you know, I married somebody who's Brazilian and he married me, you know, so English is more part of his life now, you know, and he's doing great and he's learning a lot more English and he's sounding more and more fluent all the time, you know, but then it's hard for me if we go to like big parties. And this was, I guess, the first big party where the people didn't really know me, right? I haven't met all these other friends. And then the people I did know, they were speaking Portuguese to other Brazilian people, you know? So it was the first time I kind of felt like, oh, like I'm not really a part of it. And it took an effort for me, you know, to ask to translate. But then when people get drunk, they get tired and I didn't want to keep asking, oh, can you translate? You know, so I guess this was the first time that I'm like, oh, like I'm not really feeling it, you know, and I understand it when growing up, people would come to my house, like friends and my family would all speak German. They never felt like a part of it or they didn't really like it, you know, and I understand, like it's the same thing. So the party was nice. Everybody was nice. And I guess from now on, you know, there's going to be more Brazilian parties, right? Like, that's what happens. I'm a part of this now, which is fine. But I did say to Rodolfo, I need you to be the in-between. You know, like, if they speak to you in Portuguese, then you need to speak English back. Just so that I can be a part of the conversations. You know, I can't ask these other people to speak English. They're not the ones who are probably going to do that. So yes, I'm trying to learn the language, but I'm not going to learn it fluently like that. You know, maybe if I'm around more and more of these events, like, yes, more words are sticking out. But it has to be a balance, right? The next day before we left LA, we drove into Pasadena. And I met a good friend of mine, Christy, which I interviewed, I guess, over a year ago. The interview's on the podcast. And she's a chef. She's a chef instructor. And we worked together at Bouchon. Anyway, it's a whole story if you want to listen to that podcast. But we met up. The last time we saw each other was when I flew to Japan. I stopped in LA. And I guess it's over like a year and a half ago now. So we met up and we had some dim sum. We met for like this Chinese restaurant, which is very nice. And then she met Rodolfo. So we hung out for maybe like 2 hours and had a really nice lunch. And then we continued on driving back to San Diego. And it only took 2 hours, thank goodness. Like there was a line, like the traffic was so long from San Diego to LA, right? Like everybody leaves LA to go to either Mexico or San Diego. And then Sunday they drive back to LA. So it sucked for them. But if you're driving from LA to San Diego, it was perfect. So we drove all the way back and it was so nice just to be back at home. Like we were only gone for 2 nights, But it's always nice to come home. Oh, and in case you were wondering, the animal that was in my patio, you know, I wake up at like 4:30 a.m., right? So usually I open the patio door in the mornings, and sometimes I don't get a chance to water the plants at night or during the day. So I water them in the morning at 4:30 a.m. And there was this rustling, and I see this animal that's sleeping in my flower bed that's hanging on a fence. And I ended up seeing it, and it was a rat. So this animal has been eating my parsley twice. It ate it twice now, because once I didn't cover the netting really well over it, and it went under. It went into that. So it makes sense that it's a rat, right? Because it can fit most places. So yes, I saw it, and I told the apartment building about it, and they put up a mouse trap, like a rat trap, outside of the building. So I don't know if that makes a difference. So I finally saw it last week at the farmer's market. A lot of people were talking to me. You know, that's kind of like what a farmer's market is. It's not just a place where you buy things. It's a social gathering. And I meet all kinds of people, a lot of regulars, which is nice. You know, I learn about them and their lives, and all while they're buying pretzels. You know, so it's really nice. And this one guy was talking about how he visited Germany and how he would order a Bienenstich from me. Which a Bienenstich, it's like a soft sponge. It's filled with a custard filling, and it has a honey almond topping. It's delicious, and it's a very popular German cake. So I said, you know, message me through my email, and I can probably make it for you. You know, I do special orders. So I pack everything up for the market, and I see a number. And I have this feature on my phone where you can just press the voicemail and it plays, but I did it wrong, and by accident I called this number back. And anyway, I was going to hang up because it was like, you know, 9 p.m. I didn't try and call this person back, but I never listened to the voicemail. And it was the guy from earlier who was talking to me about the Bienenstich. And he said, did you listen to my voicemail? I said, no, I didn't. I just packed up. You know, I wasn't able to listen to it. And he's like, well, and I said, did you want to place an order? And he's like, well, I was actually wondering if you wanted to hang out and meet. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, you don't want to place an order? And he's like, no, like, I think you're pretty cool. And I was just wondering, you know, if you wanted to hang out. And I said, no, I'm married. You know, but if you want to place an order, I can do that. So anyway, he never ended up ordering for me, which, okay, fine. But I never expected that. You know, like, I'm trying to think business and sell things. And meanwhile, you know, someone's calling me for a date. Which is also crazy, because when I was on dating apps, I would meet the weirdest people. And now I'm trying to get orders, and now I'm getting responses for dates. I'm like, come on, just stick with it. Just order for me. But I did get an order through my regular office, which is nice. And it's just so much easier. You know, they tell me the quantity, I make it, I bring it to them, done. Like, easy money. So remember that strike I talked about, the other hotel, that's another Hilton? Well, they're back. I guess they negotiated and got some higher wages, so they're working again. But next week is going to be the negotiation for this hotel. We'll see. You know, I don't think there will be a strike, right? Because there's talks of that happening, because they want certain things. It's not just wages. Like, they want parking in the summer, like when it's full in the parking lot downstairs. It's just, there's like all these pages, like there's lists of things that workers want at the hotel. So negotiations have to be made for that. And they've been having meetings. So if there's a strike, I'll know in a week. And then next week, my brother is coming, my oldest brother. he visited me in Aspen and we went skiing. So now he's visiting me with his girlfriend and he'll be here a few days. So I'm sure we'll have fun, even though I have to work some days. It's funny because I'm getting so many visits now in San Diego. Like, people didn't really, they said they would visit me in Aspen, but they never did. So I got a pumpkin carving kit, and then Rodolfo bought this giant pumpkin. So we have to carve it for Halloween. They're also having this pumpkin carving contest at the hotel, which I'm not sure if I'm going to enter it, but the possibility is there. I haven't decided yet. And then I guess in a week and a half, Rodolfo will be flying to Brazil. He's flying without me, which at first, when he decided that, I didn't feel very good about it, you know, because I've never met his family and I'd like to meet them. I'd like to see where he's from, see the area. I mean, he's been talking so much about it. And my family's been visiting a lot. So he hasn't seen his family in 5 years. And I get it. Like, he wants to see his family and he misses them. And he has a lot of friends there. And everybody wants to hang out with him. So he's saying this is more like a trip to see his friends and family and to get a tattoo done, to maybe go to the dentist, like to do all these things that he's been meaning to do. I would, in a sense, be in the way, like be in the way, you know, like he feels that he has to show me around and I want to see parts of Brazil, which I do. Like, you know, he just wants to hang out with his family and friends. And I guess his mom is going to follow him around everywhere. You know, she hasn't seen him in 5 years. So I'm trying to, you know, be okay with it. But I said, if you go and when you go again, you have to promise me that I come with you. I've traveled by myself. Even if I went, I'd be fine. You know, I could plan things. But he's going in a week and a half, and that's November. And for me, that's not a great time because now the hotel's getting busy for Thanksgiving. You know, so he did plan it very quickly. Obviously, if I went, you know, I need a bit more planning regarding my work schedule. So, okay, fine. He's going to go to Brazil for over 2 weeks. And I'll eat a lot of Asian and Indian food in that time. You know, to fill my appetite. So yeah, it was hard for me at first, just because I love to travel, you know, and I want to see where he's from and, you know, and all this. So it was very, very hard for me at first. It was as if like, oh, I want to see my family in Germany by myself. You know, like when you're married, things change, you know, unless you've been married for a while and there's an agreement, you know, you're good, just travel by yourself. Which I did, you know, I would travel by myself in my first marriage. You know, obviously, he wasn't so much into traveling and of his work schedule, you know, so we didn't really travel that much together. I didn't like it as much, you know, and maybe that would be different now if I traveled by myself. I don't know. But the point is, you get married to do things together, right? It doesn't have to be 100% everything together. But it was a hard thing for me to swallow, you know, and we did have multiple discussions about it. But I'm like, okay, you know, fine. You promised for the next trip that he would take me and I'll go from there. So I'm waiting to get my insurance through the hotel. If you work full time for 90 days, you're supposed to be entered into this union insurance program. But the thing is, when I started at the hotel, I only had two shifts for like 2 months. I didn't have a full work schedule, so I'm not eligible yet for this insurance. And I'm waiting for it because I'm noticing my eyesight isn't as good as it was. That scares me because I had 20/20 vision, but I'm noticing that one eye is not as good as the other one. So now I'm reading things and I'm noticing I have to hold things further away. So yeah, that's not good. Oh, to update you on these diet capsules that I'm taking, the Brazilian lean diet pills. Basically, they just have green tea. They have caffeine to curb your craving for sweet things. So they are helping. I'm not eating as much sweet things. I'm feeling good. Right? Because I'm less bloated because I'm not eating so much, so many sweets. So yes, it's still working. I wouldn't say I'm losing weight, you know, but that's okay. My goal is to get my voting done, my early voting ballot. So that's the plan. It's not as easy as I thought it would be because I have to look up all these individual propositions and they're worded in such a way that you think it might be one thing, but it's not, you know, because they really want you to vote on it. So I have to kind of read everything. So this is more of a project than I thought it would be. And today is my one day off and I'm getting my hair like colored, like the roots highlighted. So I had highlights in April, you know, so those have grown out. I want to get those filled in again. So that's happening today. And I have to do laundry and I miss having my old washing machine. The thing is, when you have your own washing machine, you just do a load here and there as you do your regular routines. It's not a big deal. Oh, let me do my whites. Oh, let me do my colored. Let me do my black. You don't have to do everything at once, obviously, because you can't because you have one machine. But when you have to go and do your laundry and have it done, you have to do everything at once. Like, obviously, you don't have to let it accumulate like that, but it's more of a hassle because there's never time for it, right? So I haven't done my laundry in a couple weeks and it's accumulating and I feel like I have like four loads, you know, which is the annoying thing. And if I had my own, it wouldn't get like that. You know, when I had my own, I'd be like, oh, let me do blacks today, you know, and it and it was a treat because it was a really nice washing machine. I've been doing some voiceover auditions for the agency in San Diego. And I do them fairly regularly, like maybe I'll do like four a week, you know, nothing too crazy, but they still send me things and I do it. I haven't booked anything yet, you know, so I'm hoping to book something soon, but that's still going on in the background. I'm like, you know, in the last podcast where I was talking about stick with something, don't give up. I feel like I have so many things going on that I want to do, you know, that I'm hoping something will come out of it, you know, like the voiceover. I mean, I'm still paying for my SAG dues, my Screen Actor Guild dues, you know, because I'm part of the union, but obviously I'm not acting, but I'm hoping maybe something with voiceover. I'm starting my business, so I'm hoping, oh, maybe that will happen. I'm working at the hotel, which we'll see, you know, how that goes. Like, I feel like there's all these things going on, but nothing's really coming out of these things. Maybe at some point they will, I don't know. And I realize, like, I've been working my whole life, you know, like hard. This business is not an easy business, right? Like being in the kitchen. I've done all sides of it. And I feel like I'm still working and hustling just as hard. And I'm thinking, will this get less at some point? You know, I'm just noticing physically it's getting harder, right? Because my body's like, stop. Like, I'm just getting all these more aches and pains, you know, and I'm still like swimming and going to body pump and just trying to maintain like some strength. But then like I'm trying all these other things and it's never getting easier. And I'm thinking, does it get easier at some point? You know, and I don't know if I'm looking for easier in a sense. Like, I guess I just want something where something just flows more and I don't have to be hustling. You know, but I guess I haven't laid a foundation. Like, yes, I have in the industry because of all my experience, but I haven't stayed anywhere long enough to, you know, have a company or have this foundation where I could step back at this point, you know, so I don't see myself stepping back in anything. Like, I still have to hustle. And I'm like, how is this supposed to happen? You know, I see people at the farmer's market, like this man, very nice. He's from France, he's European, and he's getting older and he's doing this market full time. So he's lifting, he's putting everything back, and you know, obviously he's a guy, right? And he's a big guy, so he's been doing this for a while, but it's getting harder for him. And I'm thinking, is that how it's going to be for me? You know, like, do I have to hustle? And he's maybe like 10 years older than I am, right? And then if I look at my dad, you know, he's been hustling his whole life. And now he's in retiring age and he's still working. You know, is that how it's going to be for me? Is there ever going to be a time where I can just say, oh, I'm good. I don't have to work, you know, 50 hours. Like, basically, I'm working the same amount of hours I was in Aspen because now I just have one day off. You know, and on my one day off in the morning, I work out, I swim because that makes me happy. And then today I'm getting my hair done. Like last week, I went to Body Pump and I went swimming and I had to register my car because it was still from Colorado. But my registration was about to expire, so I had to switch everything over. I had to go to the DMV. I was there for about 3 hours. I got a lot done, like it ran smoothly, but I had to switch my license to California license. And when you do that, you have to take a test. The first three I got wrong. And I'm like, oh no, am I going to fail this test? Like, it was terrible, but I ended up passing it and I was surprised. I'm like, oh, I passed? Like, that's good. The person in front of me in line actually failed. Then they said, you failed. You can come back and retake it like another time. So I was like, oh, thank God I didn't fail. And then my car had to get a smog test, which I had to go off site and get a smog check because that's what they do in California. And then I had to go back. And they had to inspect my vehicle, make sure everything was good, which is stupid because it's 2019. It's not very old. Everything's fine. And then I had to go back in and get the car registration. So I got California plates. But anyway, everything together cost like $430. Just like that, you know, for my license, for the plates, the registration. And I have to change my insurance over to California, which I'm a little bit scared about. I don't think Colorado was cheap, but I think California is more expensive. So yes, I'm officially back in California. You know, once you've switched everything, it's official, right? I was trying to hold off because I haven't actually been making a huge amount of money. So I didn't want to just spend like that. But at this point, I have to. I had to get it done. So that's what I did my day off, you know, spent like 4 hours just doing that. And then I was just tired and then it was back to work, you know? So I was wondering, is this how it's going to be? I hope not, you know, like I hope we can just do something we love and at some point step back and just see that it's working, just see that it's flowing, you know, and you can reap the benefits. But that's not always reality. You know, I've been moving so much and doing so many things to get all this experience, but I've never stayed put long enough to really build a foundation in one place. When I hope to, something else changes and I'm like, oh, that wasn't the place, you know? But meanwhile, my friends, they've been in one place for so long. You know, they've raised kids. They've had a marriage of like 20 years, you know? And meanwhile, I've been moving around this whole time, which has been so crazy, you know, but it really just set in yesterday thinking about it. Like, is this how it's going to be where I'm just constantly hustling? And I think that's what's hard. Like so many of us have to just for basic week to week bills, which is me in this position. I was grateful to make the money I was making in Aspen. But that's the other thing, like just the stress of the hotel and the stress of the other chefs. It wasn't the place I wanted to be. I knew that wasn't it for me full time. So it's hard, you know, if you make the money, but you don't like the job, then that's not going to work either. I can't stay in something just for the money. It has to be fulfilling too, because that's when you start hating your job, you know? And I saw that in Switzerland. Like so many people were working 30 years, same place, you know, and they do it because it's a good job, it's good security. Like same here, this hotel. The reason I get so little shifts is because there's so many other people in pastry that have been there for 14 years, 17 years. So they get first dibs on the shifts they want. You know, I'm like the second newest person, so I get everything that's left. But it's good for them, right? Like, they know they're going to make a certain amount of money because they're getting the shifts. They have the insurance. There's a certain amount of security. So they've been there like 14 years, 17 years, 20 years. And that's great for the company, right? The goal is to not have people leave and to not keep training people. It makes other employees stay longer too. You know, when they see, oh, there's some stability, people want to stay, they want to work. So it's always positive to see that. But then some people, they work that long at a job and they don't like it. You know, they do it because they have to. It's just a job. It's not fulfilling in any way. You know, and I get that too. Like, I get that you have to make money, but it's really hard for me to have a job and have it not be fulfilling. I guess I'm not that person that just sticks something out for 20 years if I don't like it. You know, so I'm always on this search to find something that really fulfills me. And it was always acting, or I thought it was acting for me. You know, and I would get certain jobs, but it never fully worked out the way I wanted it to. It was never an easy thing for me because I had to hustle so much just to get these jobs. You know, I never flowed. With being in the kitchen, it was different. Like, I always got one thing that led to another, you know, but it hasn't been easy. You know, and I don't know if I want easy. I just want something that flows and to have less stress, you know? So, I mean, I guess I'll be in San Diego for a while. That's what I thought about Colorado too, and look how that changed. The point is, you never know. You never know what pops up and what might happen. That's the crazy thing. What I'm saying is, all you can do is your best right now. And that's what I'm trying to do. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But it's my own thing, right? I'm trying to do this and it's my own thing. It's super hard because I don't have any money down. I don't have investors. And I'm advertising online and people are messaging me and they're asking, where is my storefront? I say, I don't have a storefront. I work out of a commercial kitchen. I've been a pastry chef for over 15 years and I'm trying my own thing. But for some reason, that seems less credible. It seems less official because I don't have a storefront. So that's the other frustration, right? Again, all I can do is my best in this moment. So I'm trying to drop off samples at other coffee shops, maybe do some pastries for wholesale. We'll see. And I inspire you to just take it one day at a time. If you have an idea, if you have a thought, go there. See where it takes you. See if maybe this is a good idea. I know that what I'm doing are like baby steps, super, super slow steps. But I do have a feeling that it's positive. I do have a feeling that it's taking me somewhere. Even though the daily work is hard, you know, it's not easy. And I'm trying to do it with all my interests, with all these things I've got going on. Maybe at some point, something's going to work out. And all these loose ends will somehow tie together. That's my hope, right? But all I have is this feeling, and I have to go with that. I've always been a very instinctual person, and acting teaches you that, right? Go with your gut, go with your instinct. And that's all I have to base this life on. Is it something scientific? Is it something 100%? No, it never is. It never is. Life is not anything solid, right, that you have 100%. And here I am thinking, all these other people have it figured out. All these other people have their lives together, but they don't. I swear to you, okay? Even when they look like they do, they probably don't. I think very, very few people have their lives and their shit together. And if they do, then there's something else that is freaking them out. There's some other anxiety, there's some other stress. Because we are human beings, there's always something. And that's the thing. When I think, oh, if only I had this, I would be happy. If only I had that, I would be solid. I would be happy. You won't be, because there's something else that you want, right? There's always the next thing. So be happy with what you're doing, right? Like, try and make it work. Try and do something job-wise that you love, because in the end, that's all you have. You know, be with the right person. Be with the person you love, because your family is all you have. So it's the basic things in the end. Everyone just wants these basic things. No matter what country, what culture, everybody just wants these things. And it's the same with us. You know, we compare it with all these things that we have to have that'll make us happy, or so we think, right? I'm just looking for some sort of flow to tie everything together. But who knows? Because in the end, it's the journey that makes the difference, right? It's all these things that you do as you're planning what you think will make you happy. But it's the journey that actually makes you happy, or it teaches you lessons. You know, what is it that the Beatles said, or John Lennon said? Life happens as we're busy making other plans. That's true. And I have to just keep like saying that to myself, you know? Are things moving quickly? No. But I can say they're moving in the right direction. I don't know the destination. Like, I think I do, right? But it's probably going to be very different than I thought it would be. And that's always how it is. But again, go with your instinct. Just go day by day, go step by step. And I do believe in the end, when we do these baby steps, it will work out. That's what I know. You know, even when I've made wrong decisions, they were never wrong decisions, because I never would have known had I not done it. Life happens. It'll break your heart. It'll make you happier than you ever thought. And it's like that whole balance. It's all the ups and downs. But I do know that everything that I've done has led me to this point. Every decision has led me in this moment. And I'm okay with that. I'm happy with this moment. Thank you for listening to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.